Nadine Smith is co-founder and CEO of Equality Florida. She's here to talk about the aftermath of the Orlando massacre and give us her spin on her LGBT issues. Hi, Nadine.
Hello there.
Tell us about Equality Florida.
Equality Florida is Florida's statewide lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender education and advocacy organization. We work to secure full equality and justice under the law for the LGBT community. And that means that we do a lot of work in Tallahassee to change laws or block bad laws. It means we have done a lot of work in the school system to uproot the culture of demonization and hatred. And so marriage equality was, of course, a huge victory, but our biggest message has been we still have a long way to go, and the road ahead is going to be rougher than the road behind us.
How are you coping after the Orlando massacre?
The aftermath, we're still in the midst of it. Not all of the patients, those who were wounded, have been released from the hospital yet. We have been working diligently with the team of organizations on the ground in Orlando to cover the urgent emergency needs and also build a fund so that we can get resources directly into the hands of survivors, the families of the dead, so that they can take care of the things they need to take care of. We've been amazed at the outpouring of support. Our online Equality Florida Pulse Victims Fund through GoFundMe has shattered every record for online philanthropy like this, and it has been a huge morale boost as well as an incredible source of resources for the victims and their families. But it's meant a lot to see, you know, the funds come in from all over the country and all over the world. Over 120 different countries are represented when we talk about the total at $7.1 million raised so far. All of the vigils around the country, all of the notes, I know it has meant the world to everybody on the ground in Orlando and certainly to those who are recovering from their injuries, both physical and psychological. And it has eased to some small degree the pain of those who lost a loved one that night.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
Well, you know, in the immediate aftermath, I happened to be vacationing with my family that Sunday at Disney World and basically lived out of a suitcase for the next couple of weeks as our team on the ground did the work of organizing vigils and memorials and prepared to bury friends. And we really made two commitments. One, that we would do everything we could to raise funds to help in whatever way money could in the aftermath of this atrocity. But I also spent a lot of time with the survivors of other mass shootings who actually flew into Orlando to be there. They said, you know, these families, they don't know what's ahead. We do. They don't know what to prepare for. We want to make sure that we can help them prepare for it. One of the phrases they used very often was that you honor with action. And that's become something of a mantra for us, that once all of the vigils are over, the memorials are over, all of the rainbow flags that were everywhere in downtown Orlando and on every billboard around town have faded, we want to know that we've built a lasting memorial by changing the culture in our state and changing the laws in our state. So that's our focus.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
Well, I think there are two arenas that we really have to focus on. One of them is ending workplace discrimination, because it really is a battle not only about the actual discrimination that people experience, but it's a battle about naming and acknowledging the existence of the LGBT community. I mean, with the far right, when they oppose us at every turn, what they're really saying is, we don't want the state, we don't want the laws to acknowledge you as actual people. We think that you don't really exist. You just need whatever God we worship. You just need whatever psychological analysis we provide. We don't think LGBT people exist. And every time a law passes that says that you do exist and that you deserve dignity, undermines their worldview. They think we shouldn't exist. If we say we exist, we should be forced to hide. And if we don't hide successfully and violence or discrimination befalls us, then that's just the way things ought to be to drive us back into the closet. So that is the worldview that drives them to oppose even anti-bullying laws in our school. The work of ending discrimination is certainly about protecting people from losing their jobs, or even living in a world where we fear that at any moment discrimination is possible. Will I be denied access to that restaurant? Will I be denied this job? Will I be harassed trying to rent a hotel room? But it is also about addressing the basic recognition and dignity of our lives. The other area that I think really should be at the top of our agenda, if we are going to uproot the hatred that is at the core, the fear and the hatred that's at the core of all of this, this discrimination, this violence, we have to focus on schools. We have to stop having the lowest bar possible, which is students who go to school should not be physically assaulted, you know, verbally abused, and emotionally terrorized. That's the least our schools should be. That should not be the highest we aspire to. We should create learning environments where dignity and respect for difference is built in, where LGBT young people cannot just go and expect not to be harassed, but can go and expect to thrive. And there are models for it, and we need the investment in it now.
With LGBTQ teens 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and numerous teens still continuing to take their own lives after facing bullying incidents, and you talked about how this is such an important issue for our community, what advice would you have for these kids?
Well, you know, every time I go and speak, whether it's at a high school or a college campus, the biggest issue that comes up is parental and familial rejection. I mean, certainly young people, they're aware of what's happening politically in the world and conversant in it. But fundamentally, the issue of losing their family, being rejected by the people who are supposed to protect them the most, comes up over and over and over again. And I think we have to address that issue. I know there's great work being done by Family Acceptance Project, but it also comes down to this essential question, and that is the role of religion and how we define religious freedom, because there's a fight going on and we are caught in the middle, and it's this idea that one's religious beliefs should be able to exempt them from their responsibility as a parent or exempt them from non-discrimination laws. And that is not religious freedom. So we've got a lot of work to do in terms of addressing a culture that allows the dehumanization of LGBT people if it's wrapped up in religious cloaks. And I think one of the most encouraging things I saw in the aftermath of the Orlando massacre was a Republican county mayor in Orange County, Teresa Jacobs, who has now stood in front of cameras and microphones and reporters on multiple occasions to say, I was wrong when I dragged my feet on LGBT protections. I contributed to a culture that made the world less safe for LGBT people, and I recognize that now. And I was encouraged when I saw one of the top evangelicals in the country, Joel Hunter, you know, megachurch in Orlando, speak up and say, I have to be held accountable for the words I have used that have dehumanized LGBT people. And I was encouraged when I heard the Catholic Bishop Lynch out of St. Petersburg that said we have to now accept the connection between our words, the hate that they engender, and the violence that comes from that. So I do think that we have this opportunity to have this conversation, to hold faith leaders who have demonized and dehumanized us to the point that people acting inhumanely to us seems not only appropriate, but godly to them. So I think one of the things that has happened in the aftermath in Orlando is that it sort of burned away all of the non-essential conversations, and it simply comes down to this. You either believe that we are equals or that I'm your inferior. You either believe that I deserve full protection or that I deserve less than you. And that's the conversation we're going to have right now, and you're going to be accountable for what you do and say now.
How can people get information about Equality Florida and the Pulse Fund?
If you go to equalityflorida.org, you can go directly to GoFundMe, our Pulse Victims Fund, and make a contribution there. Every single penny that we collect for the victims will go to the victims. No overhead, not a single penny stays with Equality Florida, and it's important that people know that. We've been thankful to folks who've made a specific point of supporting Equality Florida. Our resources have been strained in all of this, but we've sort of lowered that flag to focus on fundraising for the victims, the families of those who died and those who will be facing staggering medical bills, some for the rest of their lives. And while you're there, you can find out more about the work we do and ways that you can get involved. And we hope that you will, because the work of creating that lasting memorial, long after the candles have flickered out at the vigils and all of the, you know, vestiges of the memorial have faded away, we have to know that what happened that night in Orlando is never going to fade from our consciousness. And that I'm proud of all of the folks who held a sit-in at Marco Rubio's office after he had the gall to use the memorial to the victims as the backdrop for re-entering politics. This man who stood in opposition to all LGBT protections. So we will honor them with action. We will continue the push for full equality, and we'll do everything we can to uproot the hatred that showed up not only in the Orlando massacre, but has the LGBT community, especially transgender individuals, the most targeted for hate violence. We have to be as outraged when we are killed one by one as we are when the atrocity that unfolded in Orlando occurred.
What other projects are you working on?
We're pushing for a statewide non-discrimination bill. We've been working for local ordinances all across the state. Florida's the third most populous state, and 56% of the population now live in places that have sexual orientation and gender identity built into the local ordinances. But 56% is not 100%. We won't be done until, no matter where you are in the state of Florida, you know the law protects you. We are working in the school system. We just launched a project that really gets to the heart of creating the kinds of schools where LGBT youth are not simply protected from harm, but places where they are permitted to thrive. And we also have a program called Transaction Florida, which is very specifically focused on lifting up the voices and visibility of transgender Floridians so that the caricatures and the ugly slander of transgender people that shows up in the form of anti-bathroom bills or the opposition to passage of human rights ordinances can be countered by the real lives of transgender people. Those are three of the main programs that we have. We have an internship program as well that has produced some top leaders of the state, including many of our staff members. So visit our website, equalityflorida.org. Get involved. Even if you don't live in Florida, you can become a member because eventually you're going to move here and retire, so you might as well make it a great place to retire to.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Here's what I wish people would do. Figure out everything that you're willing to do to secure full equality. Not everybody is willing to get arrested at a sit-in at Marco Rubio's, but some people are, and if you are, this is a moment to stand up and be counted. If that's too far for you, but you'd be willing to go to lobby days and sit across from a legislator, you got to do it. We're counting on you. This isn't change that's going to come because a handful of, activists go out and do it. This is change that's going to come because everybody is raising their voice, is lifting up this message of full equality and accepting no substitute for it. For some people, that's writing a check, but for some people, that is carrying a clipboard at Pride. But whatever you're willing to do, we need you to do it. Something has changed since Orlando. Something fundamental has changed. And we've got to seize this moment and not let it slip through our fingers. So I really do hope that people will get involved. If you're not in Florida, get involved with your state organization. But this is a pivotal moment where we can lean in and make things different, or we can wonder where the opportunity went that was so visible to us right now.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times?
I have a couple of them. One is find a way or make a way. But my mother-in-law sent me this quote, and it's by Barbara Kingsolver from her book Animal Dreams. It says, the very least you can do in your life is to figure out what you hope for. And the most you can do is live inside that hope. Not admire it from a distance, but live right in it, under its roof. What I want is so simple, I almost can't say it. Elementary kindness. Enough to eat, enough to go around, the possibility that kids might one day grow up to be neither the destroyers nor the destroyed. That's about it. Right now I'm living in that hope, living down its hallway and touching the walls on both sides. And that is the image that I hold in my mind right now as we find a path in the midst of all of this grief to not give into it and to make sure that we are keeping the candle lit.